Probably too late now. Oh, but I don't worry about that much, 'cause I'm happy anyhow. As I go along life's journey, I'm reaping better. Sometimes the going's rough. Oh, but I got a friend in Jesus, and that makes me rich enough. I thank God for all His blessings on me and the mercy that He bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup has overflowed. Oh, sure, I've been through some storms, and yes, I know there were times when my faith, well, it got a little thin. But you know what? It seemed like one day, all at once, those old dark clouds broke. That old sun, she started shining again.
Turn with us over in Romans in the 3rd chapter. Yeah, what is Sunday? Homecoming. All right, I'll be sure to be telling your family and friends and come and let's have a good day. Brother Johnny Hilton will be here with us, if the Lord tarry, and be with us here. And we'll be working out here tomorrow and throughout the day. So if you have any time during the day, and they'll be sitting out here tomorrow night, setting some stuff up back there. Maybe after church tonight we get the tables up, and that'll be a big help back there. So don't let us forget that, guys, if we can run and do that after we dismiss. Romans in the 3rd chapter. Confession of your profession. Amen. You know, profession is your calling. And how often do you confess your calling? Or you just kind of sit on it and kind of wonder about it, but we need to do that. But we'll be talking about some God forbids tonight, a couple of them. If I get to them, may just get to one. But we're going to go as far as time will permit. Amen. Romans, the 3rd chapter, and verse number 3. Paul is saying here, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? And then he answers it, God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mayest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this evening for who you are. We thank you for the word, God, that we're able, Lord, to hear and to comprehend, to receive into our spirit, God. And Father, help us to receive some nugget, something, Lord, that would help us, Lord, to be better in what we do every day for you. We love you and we praise you for it. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen. He said, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? And then he answers it, God forbid. And forbid means absolute denial. You know, there's several God forbids in the Bible, and you ought to look them all up. But when God... When a writer or is inspired by the Holy Ghost to say God forbids something, that means absolutely God doesn't allow that. Amen. If some people did not believe, just because some people in the world don't believe that there's a God, does not make it that there is no God. And just because some people don't believe in some of the things that are freely given through the blood of Jesus Christ does not make it not so. Amen. It does not make it untrue, but it is true. Because he says, let God be true and every man a liar, as written, that thou mayest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Remember what he said in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter and verse 1. He asked this question. He said, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Everybody don't believe the report of the Lord. Everybody don't believe the word of God. Everybody don't believe in God. Amen. That doesn't make it not true that there is a God just because someone does not believe it. Amen. It's like some people said, well, I don't believe in God. And you say, well, I don't believe in 18-wheelers. Said, well, just go out there and stand in the road, and sooner or later, one's going to prove you wrong. And eventually the people will learn that. Amen. It says, but who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He's only going to be revealed to those who believe in him. Amen. Why would he reveal himself to someone who does not believe in him? Amen. It takes faith and it takes believing in him. He says in Matthew's gospel in the 7th chapter, he says, not that everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Just because someone says that they go to church does not make them to believe God. Amen. It does not make, I've seen a lot of church people who will try to tell people how God is by their life. In other words, where they're living at, if they're having all kind of problems, they're living a life that God brings all kind of problems upon you. My friend, that doesn't make it true. You need to go to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says. And that's the truth. Amen. So we got to live by the Word of God and not by how we feel and not by how our life is going a particular day. I mean, there are some days that people are feeling like, you know, so full of energy and feeling so good and everything's going great. And they think God is a good God. He's all good. No badness in him. And then on the other hand, you know, the day could be totally opposite and they think God is dragging them through the mud and through all that. And it says, God forbid, don't be that way. That's not what God is. Amen. He says in Luke's gospel in the 6th chapter in verse 46, it says, Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? See, there's a lot of people in the church world that when they stand before God, they'll say, Well, Lord, we did a lot of work for you. He said, depart from me. I didn't know you. You weren't doing it for me. And so it goes right here. What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Just because some people and preachers, even in the pulpit, preaches that divine healing is not for today, does not make it that divine healing is not for today. It will not make it effect. Amen. It will not disannul the Word of God. The Word of God is true. Everything that Jesus Christ paid for is still intact today as just as any other day that man has walked upon this earth. Amen. He saves just like he did. He cast out devils the same way. Amen. Healed the sick, raised the dead. Everything is still intact. Just cause we don't believe it, amen, does not make it a lie, does not make it untrue. Amen. So we got to get with the program, don't we? Amen. We better get with the program. Romans 3 and 4, again, he says, God forbid. Now, when God says forbid, absolute denial, I looked up that word. And that word in the Greek is eimi, it means may. That's the way you pronounce it. It means absolute denial. It comes from the Strong Concordance word 3361. And so I got to thinking about that, and when God says, God forbid in his word, we need to listen to it because it comes from the same word as the time when Jesus found the man there after he had healed him and they was questioning him in the temple. He was hanging around with unbelievers trying to talk him out of his healing. And Jesus found him in the temple and he says, look, don't be hanging around that. Least a worse thing come upon you. In other words, God forbid you be around that. That's what he was saying. Because it comes from the same word. It comes from the Strong word, least does. 3363 of the Strong. It means hanamay. It means albeit not. The same way as absolute denial. Amen. So he said, least a worse thing come upon us. So a lot of times, you know, when we're hanging around doubt and unbelief, just because someone don't believe that God is real and you're hanging around them does not make it untrue in your life. But if you continue to hang around it, least a worse thing come upon you, you keep hanging around it, after a while you're going to be talking like it and walking like it. I don't care who you are. I don't care how strong you are in God. If you hang around people that is always cutting down on God and saying God does all this wrong, and you know, if you hang, whatever you hang around, that's what you become. Amen? Are you with me? He says, that thou mayest be justified in thy sayings. Justified means to render just or innocent. In other words, he says, don't be talking unbelief and doubt. Talk faith and confidence because you're justified in your sayings. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, 12th chapter. He says that with the words of your mouth, you're justified or condemned. You're caught. Proverbs said it's a power in the there's death and life in the power of the tongue. Amen. We're caught in a snare with our tongue. So he said here, With what we confess, you can render just or innocent by your word. Amen. It means free. Just means free. Justified means free. It says, so that thou mightest be justified or free in thy sayings, that thou might be right in thy sayings. In other words, if we'll confess what the Word of God says, it does not matter if the whole world is going contrary to it. We will be right because we're saying what the Word of God says. I don't care what the situation looks like. I could care less about it. What the Word of God says is what we say. Because the Word of God is true. How many believes the Word of God is true? Amen. So that's what we confess. You say, well, Brother Dave, you know, if you're not feeling good and somebody says, how you feeling? You ain't supposed to say, I feel good. I didn't tell you to say that. If you don't feel good and you don't, you know, and you just look at you and everybody knows you don't feel good, then somebody asks, how you feeling? Just quote the word, by his stripes, I'm healed. You'll be telling the truth. You don't think when Jesus was there in the wilderness for 40 days and nights, hadn't eat a bite. And they say that the human body after 40 days gets this last plunge of hunger that'll try its very best to make you eat something because it's about to die. And at 40 days, Satan came to him and he said, turn them stones into bread. You know what he said? Because I know you hungry, man. I know you're starving, ain't you? Jesus didn't say, I ain't hungry. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. He didn't say I wasn't hungry. The man was probably starving to death. But he didn't say that. You don't have to say that. Amen. So that he would be justified in his sins. He was justified in his sins because it is true that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. Amen. So it helps our belief system. What do you think would be help my belief system? To quote the word of God or walk around telling how I really feel and make an announcement and testifying to it with my words of my mouth? The word of God. How does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17, for those of you taking notes. Amen. We need a confession of our profession, a confession of our calling, a confession of what we feel God is leading us into. Amen. If God is leading you into a deliverance, you need to be confessing your deliverance. The woman with the issue of blood was confessing it. She said, if I could but just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. She was confessing it, her profession. Amen. She was justified in her sayings. She didn't go by all those that around her was in disbelief. No, it did not make the ways of God of none effect. God forbid. Romans in the 10th chapter in verse number 9. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. See, confession is part of salvation. It ain't just believing. It is confessing. Amen. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See that thou might be justified in thy sayings. Amen. Didn't you not confess the Lord Jesus Christ? I remember one time a lady came and she got saved at the altar. And she testified later that, you know, she didn't feel any different when she got up from the altar. And she went to her seat and she left and, you know, she did the ritual of going down, asking the Lord forgive her. But she didn't confess it. And a day or two later, she was talking with someone, I think at the laundromat or something, and she told them, I got saved Sunday night. And when she said that, there was some glory came over her and overwhelmed her. You see, you have to go by the book. It didn't say just believe in your heart and you'd be saved. No, it said believe and confess Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Amen. Confess that God is true. Let God be the truth that makes you up, that makes you. Amen. God is true. He says, let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. I don't care what messenger comes your way. Let God be true and every man a liar. What did the little woman say when her son was laying on the bed dead? There in Kings, 2 Kings, laying there dead. And when the man of God was coming, he cried out, said, high is it with your husband, and high is it with you, and high is it with your son? She said, it is well. No, Brother Dave, she lied. No, it's well, because God is in control. It is well. Amen. No matter what comes or goes upon this earth, it is well. Because God is still on the throne. I don't care if it's daylight or nighttime. Amen. I don't care when it is. God is still in control. Amen. Don't we trust him? Don't we believe in him? He said, let God be true. Look at the one next to you. Say, let God be true. He said in Numbers 23:19, he said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, will he not do it? Has he spoken and not make it good? Look, God's word is true. But we've got to take the word of God. What is it? Epoxy has a catalyst and a what? Hardener. Is that what it is? Is that the two parts? The substance and the hardener. This is the substance here, you know. And I know now faith is the substance, but this is the catalyst here. And faith is the hardener. It's what makes the word of God come together. Amen. The word by itself is not. He gave us faith to mix with it. That's why he said in Hebrews in the second chapter, he said it didn't profit them in the Old Testament not being mixed with faith. If you don't mix this word with faith, it don't prosper nothing. It's nothing more than ink on pages. But when you take and mix some faith with it, man, that thing will start setting up and you give you something you can stand on. That's what it's talking about. He said, Hebrews in the 6th chapter, verse 17, he said, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Now listen what he said. He said, he told two immutable things. Immutable means unchangeable. God spoke two unchangeable things. I'll tell you what they are in just a minute. Two unchangeable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. God cannot lie, right? I didn't give you scriptures. Let God be true. He's not a liar. He's not a man that he should lie. Okay? And he says, it is impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Now, what are the two immutable things? He said it right before there in verse 14 to Abraham over in Genesis. He said, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. That is two unchangeable things. Amen. God told Abraham his word. A king's word cannot be broken. Amen. And so he told Abraham in the 12th chapter of Genesis, he said, go out and every nation that blesses you, I bless them. He said, in blessing, I will bless thee. In multiplying, I will multiply thee. Did he not bless Abraham? Come on. Did he not? Abraham was a very wealthy man. Did he not multiply Abraham? Did he not multiply his seed? Where did Jesus come from? The loins there. Amen. So we see that God cannot change his word, that he blessed Abraham. In blessing him, he blessed him. In multiplying, he multiplied, right? And then we go to the Galatians in the 3rd chapter, verse 13. He says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse unto us, for it is written, cursed every man that hangeth on the tree. Verse 14, that the blessing, not an S on the end, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's us. So we have here in Hebrews, he's telling that we have this two immutable things, two unchangeable. They're still intact today. Amen. We're living under the Abraham covenant. if you will. Not the Mosaic Law, the Abraham covenant. Abraham wasn't under the Mosaic Law. He wasn't a Jew. He was a Gentile. So we're living under the Abraham covenant, which is, in blessing I will bless you. In multiplying I'll multiply you. Now you're going to let God be true. You're going to let some old unbeliever tell you something different. What's it going to be? What's it going to be? Amen. Sister Von Seal testified. She found a financial miracle and thanked God for it. And in blessing, he blessed her. Got two checks. Come on. God's word is forever settled in heaven. It's not changing. It's forever settled in heaven. Think about it. Think about God's word. God's word. This is God's word all the way through. Think about Genesis, the very beginning. It says, and God said, and look at it, and it was so. God said, and it was so. Did it not? God's word is true. And God said, and it was so. And this goes the same way. He said, if you believe, you can have it. If you believe not, you can't have it. God's word is true. So it's up to me and you, isn't it? Glory. God said it and it was so. Like, you know, the old tag on the front of some people's car, they have it on there and said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Nah. God said it, and that settled it right there, buddy. Whether you believe it or not, it's settled. 2 Corinthians in the 3rd chapter. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. How we're changed? By the Spirit of the Lord, looking in this mirror here. All right? From glory to glory, from difference, from one service to the next. Amen. From one appearance to the next. Amen. I've seen lives that come in. People come in, didn't know anything about God. But they kept coming to Sunday school and worship service. And you know, just they would go from one glory to the next. Just like a child, you go from a baby to a toddler, from one glory to the next glory, you know, up to the manhood. That's what it's talking about. It says, we're all like that, changed from one glory to the next. Listen, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's what he says in 2 Peter 1:5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith what? Virtue by the same Spirit. You say it like that. You know when it talks about the gifts of the Holy Ghost in the 12th chapter, 1 Corinthians. He said, and one given by the same Spirit. You know, the word of wisdom. By the same Spirit, the gift of faith. You know, healing. Listen, same way here. It's not just taking and add to your faith virtue that man teaches. No, but what the Spirit of God teaches. The world's standards of virtue is a different standard than what God teaches. Understand. And to virtue knowledge, the worldly knowledge. Come on. Read 1 Corinthians in the 1st chapter over there, where it talks about how that he had made use of foolish things to confound the wise of the world. Amen? So don't go by the wisdom of the world, because God takes foolish things and make them look silly. So you better go by the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. By the same Spirit, add to your virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, by the same Spirit, add temperance. And amen? And to temperance, by the same Spirit, add patience. And to patience, by the same Spirit, add godliness. And to godliness, by the same Spirit, brother kindness. And by the same Spirit, to brother kindness, charity. Oh, brother kindliness. You ever met old brother kindliness? Yeah, he sat here next to me tonight. That's what y'all should have said. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you. They make you. They make us who we should be. From one glory to the next, we take on his image.
See, was not Jesus, did he not have virtue? Did he not have knowledge? Did he not have temperance and patience and godliness and brother kindness and charity? Did not Jesus have all these things? Well, it was given to him by the Holy Ghost. And it's the same way with us. We don't get that from school or from on our job. Come on. It comes from God. These things come from God. It is higher than man's ways. So we have to listen to what the Word of God said. And the Word of God is true. Man may tell us something contrary to the Word. But no. We have to take the Word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. I don't care how educated he may be. I don't care how much evidence he may have. The Word of God is true. Amen. Colossians 3:10, it says, and have put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. He's talking about Jesus Christ here. He was renewed in knowledge and took on the image of God. In the same way that we are renewed in knowledge and we take on the image of him through his word. Amen. That's what he's telling us we do. We've been renewed. Knowledge is full discernment. Renewed in full discernment after the image of him that created us. It is full discernment to become fully acquainted with our recognition. We need to recognize who we are. Look, if we recognize who we are, we're not going to be walking out there in sin and wallowing in the mud of this world. Amen? If we'll recognize and acknowledge that we are in the image of God, come on, and we're not going to get out there in the filth and the mud and the slime that's out there in sin. Come on. If we're made in the image, we're to walk that higher way. The walk like God walks. Jesus told the disciples, come on out there and follow me. Walk like I walk. Talk like I talk. Do the things I do. Be like me. Follow the leader. And so he's telling us. He said, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Is it going to stop the church? No. Only if we allow it. But he said, God forbid. Ephesians 4:22. He says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man. Before you put something on, you got to take something off. See, you took off the old man, right? That old man's dead, right? And you put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, wherefore putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor. Well, how are you going to speak truth unless you speak the word of God? For we are members one of another. He says, be ye angry and sin not. He didn't say it's a sin to get angry. But you better watch it when you get there. You're getting close to it. Right? Don't lose your temper. Be angry, but sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, husbands. Then wives cook all night long, steaming. They ripe in the morning. Hello? Get something straight in this day. If you're upset with a friend, get it straight today. Because tomorrow it'll be a lot harder. Amen? It's done got others involved. I mean, this is wisdom here. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give him no place. Get it straight. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. A lot of this is going to go with the next, God forbid, right here. If I have time, I'm almost there. He said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There's a lot of good teaching in that right there. You need to go back over that when you get home tomorrow. Ephesians 4:22 and 32 through 32. You need to do that and break that down. But he said, let it all be put away from you. It's kind of like the old fella that was an alcoholic and he got saved. And he said, I'm going to keep this bottle right here on my mantle just to remind me that of what the Lord's delivered me from. Man, the first time he gets upset at church, he's going to go to that bottle. You better get that thing away from you. Put it far from you. Come on. Pour it out. That's right. 1 Corinthians 15:49, it says, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. I mean, the same way that they didn't have to, send me to school to speak. I just began to get the image of my mom and dad, and I spoke North Georgia. You take on the image to look, that we look like one another. Amen? Because we're born of, and when we're born of God, then we're going to look like God. We're going to act like God. We're going to talk like God. Amen? We're going to be Christ-like if we're born of Him. The same way we was born of our earthly father and we took on His image and His ways, we take on our heavenly Father. He said in Romans in the 12th chapter, verse 2, He says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Prove now, He says. Prove means to test or examine. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. See, this world will tell you that there is no God. This world will try to steal your faith and make the word of God of none effect if you allow it. But it can't be if we'll use the faith that God has given us. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. I mean, we're not to, blow our balloon so big that we think we're somebody when we're not. Look, I know how little and puny and good for nothing I am without God. But with God, I can do all things. Amen. Through Christ, I can do all things. Amen. Come on. See, don't cut yourself too short. But to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now see, there's your faith. Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Only if you allow them to steal your faith. Every man has been given the measure of faith. The same. The is one measure. Every person has been given the same measure. Now you have to do something with that. You have to do like Jude says, to build up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. You have to exercise. The Bible talks about exercising your faith. Because you can lose your faith and your faith can go little. The Bible talks about little faith, or where is your faith? He goes into Romans in the 5th chapter, verse 19. He says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You understand what he's saying there? He said, it's kind of like I describe it sometime. The power, the electricity, that Santee Cooper would be like God. And the electric wires would be like Jesus. And he comes in here and we're like these light bulbs right here. We're just the light of the world, you know. But outside there is a transformer. And it gives this building just what it needs. See, sometimes it just needs a little bit when we're nobody here. And sometimes it needs more. But it feeds this building just what it needs. Amen? And that's what he's talking about here. Sometimes you need a little and sometimes you need more. He said, listen, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Wherever the need was, there's more power given. Amen? That you can overcome. Look, I might not need, sitting at home in there relaxed in my recliner, I might not need very much grace there. But let me tell you, when I'm out there out there with all the enemies and all the demons and all the things that would be trying to attack my faith, I need more strength, amen. And in those times, he said, I'll give you more grace. That's why he told Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. Everywhere you go, I'll be with you. And when you need more, I'll give you more. When you need less, come on. I'll feed just what you need. He'll be more than enough. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ. Same way that sin reigned in our life and was dragging us to hell, now righteousness through grace is reigning in our lives, carrying us to heaven. Just changing directions, right? Chapter 6, verse 1, listen. After this, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? See, I said, whenever sin's around, you know, he gives us more grace. So should we be sinning that we could get more grace? I mean, some people would take it that way. You know, when sin's around and, you know, sin's around tempting you to, you know, get more grace, should we be around more sin? He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And then Paul answers it, God forbid. An absolute denial. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Amen. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So we see some church people says, I was talking to a brother before church, and he said he's talking to one of his friends and going to church somewhere, and got talking to the preacher there in some meeting, and the preacher was telling him, said that sometimes he'll get his Bible out and starts reading it, and what helps him is he'll just put a little chew in his mouth. And it kind of helps him to study. And then he told him a little later, said, about taking a drink. He said, take a little drink, don't hurt anything. See? Will their unbelief make the holiness of God without effect? God forbid. Don't change me from being holy one bit. And it don't change God from being holy. I mean, they can change the doctrines all they want to in churches. It does not change the doctrine of God. They can change the word all they want to. It does not change the word because it's forever settled in heaven. Man can do whatever they want to, but it will not change God's word. Let God be true and every man a liar. What is your confession? He says, Romans 6:12, he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Amen. We should not be yielding our instruments to do anything evil or wrong. Our instruments, here, our bodies, our instruments, we should be doing it for righteousness. The church, that's what it should be. He said, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Some people say, well, Brother David, I just can't help sinning. Sin don't have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Why can't people read them? God forbids in the Bible. Know you not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants are ye, or ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Notice what it said. Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? What did he say? His servants. His servants. Amen. That's why I said in John 8:44, some people are, says, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a liar from the beginning. He abode not in truth. 1 Corinthians 6:15, almost finished. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. Yet people do it all the time. Church people I'm talking about. I'm not talking about people in the world. I'm talking about church people. He says if we're members, you know, our bodies are members of Christ. We're the members of Christ. He's the head, right? Lastly, Galatians 2 and 17, it says, But while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Oh, Brother Dave, you sin a little bit every day. It's all right. You can't live without sin, Brother Dave. Well, you can't go to heaven then, says Sally. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Absolutely not. God cannot be entangled with sin. Do you not understand when Jesus was on the cross why he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you know why he said that? Because he had David Whitfield's sin on him, and God couldn't look on him because he had my sin on him. And for that moment of time, the only time that Jesus had felt God's attention away from him, and he didn't like what he felt. He didn't like what he felt with my sin and your sin on him, because God couldn't look on him. He picked it up and he put it on, and that time God looked away. That's why the sun darkened. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said, I don't like this feeling. And he died. And as soon as he died, God turned back around. Because our sin was dead. Is Christ the minister of sin? These churches that, and church members and preachers that preach that you sin a little bit every day, and church members that do sin a little bit every day, even maybe in our church, is Christ your minister? God forbid. God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed. You listen to this, church people. I've seen people come and get saved and fall in love with God. Just like I've seen two people come before me and want to get married and fall in love and look at them and they just love one another. And I tell them, every time I do a ceremony, I tell them, I said, look here. I said, y'all came to me to get married. I didn't come to you. And somewhere down the road, y'all start falling out of love. And this little experience y'all having right now, and you want to depart ways. I want you to come back and hunt me up again. I'm not going to hunt you up. You come hunt me up and sit down with me. And I'm going to remind you of this little talk we're having here, that y'all was in love with one another. That's why Jesus wrote back here to the church at Ephesus, and he said, I know your works, but I have somewhat against you. You've left your first love. You forgot that first love that you used to have. That when you first got saved, man, everything you would do, you before you take a step, is it all right? Is it okay, Lord? I want to make sure, Lord, I'm doing everything just right. I want to please you, God, because I'm in love with you. Come on. But as time goes by, our love grows cold and separate from God like divorce. And come on. And we start building the things we once destroyed. The things we used to wouldn't do, we pick it up. But now, what are we saying? Let me tell you what we're saying. We're backslid. Things I once thought was wrong, now I don't think wrong. No, 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 no. God's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He said in Malachi, he said, my people change. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. You know what a transgressor is? Sinner. That's what sin is. Transgressing God's law. That's all sin is. Transgressing God's law. If I build a thing, build again the things which I destroyed. Go drag them up again. I make myself a sinner. Amen? Come on, stand with us. Father, we love you tonight for who you are. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be here. Lord, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief sway us? Lord, in the church world, and I'm persuaded in every church there's some, God, that'll come in that will not believe. And Lord, their lifestyle will try its best to sway others away. But God, in sincerity, will it change your ways? God forbid.